We started to talk about the mitzvah in this week's parsha, v'negdashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael, which on a simple level means that we have an obligation to be willing to give up our lives al kiddush Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his books, Abraham's Journey, has a very beautiful piece in the very beginning of the book. He talks about many of the challenges that Avraham Avinu lived through. And there, when he discusses the Akedah, he writes as follows. One of the many events in Avram's life that are so central, of central significance because of their paradigmatic role in our historical drama, is the Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak. Obviously, Akedas Yitzchak is something we still mention on our davening in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. According to the Ramban, historical semantics, the Akedah foreshadowed Jewish martyrdom throughout the ages. That's what gave us, as we mentioned yesterday, that's what gave us the ability to be able to give up our lives al Kiddush Hashem. The Akedah was the portent of the many sad and tragic situations in which Jews were summoned to bring the supreme sacrifice, which was their very existence. So obviously that's what we know. Skip down a little bit further. The basic idea of the Akedah is that man is a servant of God, says Rav Soloveitchik. He belongs completely to God, body and soul. Hence, God from time to time calls upon man to return to him whatever is his. He demands that man give not a part, but the whole of himself. That's what it means to give up. That's what it means to be moser nefesh, to give every part of ourselves back to the Ribono Shel Olam. It all belongs to him in the first place. We're here on loan. So it means that some points in our lives, he demands that we give everything back to him. However, he says, there are two ways in which the total sacrifice is implemented, the physical and the experiential. And here's a very important point. The need for sacrifice was established as an iron law in Jewish history. However, whether man should sacrifice on a physical altar atop some mountain, the way God summoned Abraham to do so, or in the recesses of his personality, is man's privilege to determine. Whether the sacrifice consists in physical agony, pain, and extinction of life, or in spiritual surrender, humility, and resignation in man's affair. God wills man to choose the altar and the sacrifice. So not always, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the obligation of Mesiras Nefesh that we have to be willing to give up our children on the Akedas Yitzchak on top of the mountain, and as dramatic as that. At some periods in our life, says Rav Soloveitchik, the obligation of Mesiras Nefesh is experiential, that we're going to live through life in a way which is full of surrender and humility to Ribono Shel Olam himself, that we give a certain resignation of our minds, of our thoughts, of our feelings toward him, even though we don't have any pain, any physical anguish. And this is what we call living al Kiddush Hashem. That's what Rav Soloveitchik describes here, and it's a very important notion to be aware of as we speak about this mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh. That Mesiras Nefesh in our generation, we're blessed, that it does not mean to give up our lives, it doesn't mean to be in pain, it doesn't mean to be in agony. But Mesiras Nefesh in our generation means, like Rav Soloveitchik writes, that other life of Mesiras Nefesh, which is the experiential part of it, to give over every part of ourselves, our thoughts, our feelings, our sensitivities, toward the Ribono Shel Olam. The Sefer Chasidim writes, Yesha Nerag Al Kiddush Hashem. He says there are some, in some generations, that are killed Al Kiddush Hashem, and we still have those today. Some that unfortunately lose their lives Al Kiddush Hashem. V'yesh tzadikim she'enam neharagim al kiddush Hashem. The overwhelming majority of great people throughout the ages did not give over their lives al kiddush Hashem. And the overwhelming majority of the greats in our generation will not give up their lives al kiddush Hashem. Elam meisim bidei shamayim al mitasam. They die natural deaths like everyone else. V'ilu hayu b'shas ha'gzeira hayu neharagim. Had they lived at a time when that would have been demanded of them, they would have done so. V'lama yafsidu, he asks. Why should they lose out? Strange kind of question. Why should they lose out? They're such great people, they're such great tzaddikim. Why can't they also have the opportunity to be martyrs, to be dying al Kiddush Hashem? And the answer to that is very simple. That they do have the opportunity to live al Kiddush Hashem, and that's no less of an opportunity. They struggle every day of life to make the best of life and to make all their decisions ones that will make the Ribono Shel Olam proud. And it's not always so easy. And that's the opportunity that every great person has in every generation. Regardless of what the outside forces are pushing them to do or not do, they have the opportunity to push themselves and to make every decision in life one that is focused merely on the Ribono Shel Olam. One of the Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim writes a letter where he says he used to daven in very close proximity to the Chafetz Chaim every day. And he says he was shocked. He said he was appalled how when he would listen to the Chafetz Chaim Davin, he would hear, you know, sometimes people add in their own kind of tefillah inside of the Shemona Esrei. They want to ask for something personal. So the Chafetz Chaim didn't ask for what all of us would ask for, a parnasa, a shidduch, a something's going wrong, a health, some issue that's going on in the family. No. Chafetz Chaim used to ask every day in the Shemona Esrei, this Talmud writes, that he should have the schus to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem. That's what the Talmud said. He heard the Chafetz Chaim ask a personal request, a personal bakasha, that he should be able to have the schus to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem. And the Talmud said he never understood it. The Pasuk says, Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh, that God listens to those who are His Yireim, to those who are His followers, to those who believe in Him. So how come God never listened to the tefillah of the Chafetz Chaim? He said he was bothered by this for years. Chafetz Chaim ultimately died a natural death at a very old age. He did not die as a martyr. He didn't die al Kiddush Hashem. How come God didn't listen to him? How can that be? Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh. And the Talmud said he finally came to the understanding, to the recognition that no, it was a greater gift to the world that the Chafetz Chaim would continue to live al Kiddush Hashem than it would have been to die al Kiddush Hashem. The Kiddush Hashem that the Chafetz Chaim created through the life that he lived, through everything that he did, through the Torah that he taught and the Svarim that he wrote, was greater than any good that would have come about through the sanctification of God's name if he would have been killed al Kiddush Hashem. And the Talmud said he now understood that yes, God did answer his prayers. And the answer to the prayer was, I'm not going to kill you, I'm going to keep you alive. And by keeping you alive, you'll continue to sanctify my name, you'll continue to bring me honor, because that's the life of the Chafetz Chaim, that's what he was. There are some Mefarshim that explain, in Tehillim, the Pasuk says, Livnei Korach Mizmar Shir, Yisodaso Beharare Kodesh, that the Yisodos, the foundations of the Jewish people are Beharare Kodesh, in the mountains of Kedusha. So some of Farshim explain, what does it mean, Beharare Kodesh? What are those two mountains that seem to be the foundation of the Jewish people? The Mefarshim explain, maybe it means Har HaMoriah, as well as Har Sinai, because those are the emblem of the Jewish people. That is the foundation of what we're all about. On the one hand, the opportunity that generations have had to give up the sacrifice on Har Moriah, like Yitzchak Avinu. But on the other hand, the second foundation that is so fundamental, that is so important to be a Jew, is the Har Sinai. To remind ourselves that at every stage in life, we always have to remember we have a Torah mitzvah to observe, and that is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. It's not a one-time act. It's something that we live with, that we struggle with, every moment, every day of our lives, and those are Yisod HaBaharei Kodesh. Those are the foundations of the Jewish people on both mountains. Always to remember both of those aspects, because one without the other is not going to be meaningful. We know the Gemara tells us that the Beis HaMikdash is called Beisi, Beis Tfila Yikari L'chol HaAmim. We give equal opportunity to all nations of the world to come and pray in the Makam HaMikdash, to come and offer a tefila or a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch famously comments on the Gemara that we know the Gemara tells us that the non-Jews are limited to which kinds of sacrifices they are able to offer. It says that a non-Jew is only able to offer a karban ola, which is completely burned on the Mizbeach, and they cannot have the opportunity to offer a karban shlamim. Suggests Rav Hirsch, it's very simple. Because a non-Jew doesn't have an understanding of what it means to live a life of a karban shlamim. Karban shlamim means you give a part of it to the Mizbeach, and the rest of it one holds back for themselves. You eat, you enjoy, you invite family over to have a opportunity to partake in this karban, to eat the meal and to enjoy it together with others. Says Rav Hirsch, the Jews are the ones who have mastered the art of eating al Kiddush Hashem, of living al Kiddush Hashem. There's a way that we sleep, there's a way that we eat, there's a way that we live, there's a way that we talk, there's a way that we do everything we do, and that's something that's foreign to many others in various aspects of the world. And says Rav Hirsch as follows, Nachri libel ha-shamayim, you can have a non-Jew whose heart is in the right place, who wants to give to God, who wants to be connected with Him. V'harayon ha-yisodi shel ha-karbanos. And that is, after all, that is what karbanos are all about. Sha'adam moser ha-satzma la-shamayim, that you're willing to be forthcoming to the Ribbono Shalom, that you give a gift to God, and you sacrifice. Ach, ein hu makir es ha-rayon ha-miyuchad Yisrael, says Rav Hirsch. A non-Jew very often misses that point that is so central to the life of a Jew. Habali debitui bekarban shlamim, that comes to the fore when we discuss what a karban shlamim is all about. Ki gam hanos hachayim mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. All the pleasures that we have in life, all that we indulge in our world, is also a part of our obligation to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, to live Al Kiddush Hashem, and to show Him that everything we do, every decision that we make, is all for Him. Gam bahem v'davka bahem yesh mishum avodas Hashem. We find great value in that alone. I remember there's a medrash that says, Parshas Lech Lech Vayera, that there are two Lech Lechas that were said in Avraham Avinu's life. One was Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Mimaladetecha, and go to Eretz Yisrael. The other one was Lech Lecha, that I want you to go to Har Moriah. I want you to sacrifice your son. And the Medrash says, Eini Yodea Eze Mehem Kasher Mechavero. I don't know which challenge is more difficult than the other. You don't know which challenge is more difficult? How can you even have a question? Is there even a question in anyone's mind that to sacrifice one's child, the only child that a person has, after God promised you everything is going to come from this kid, is there no doubt that that's obviously more challenging than leaving your family and going to Eretz Yisrael? So much Torah has been said about that Medrash, but perhaps some suggest what the Medrash means is as follows. It's a one-time act to sacrifice HaKiddush Hashem on Har Moriah. Avraham Avinu was given the strength to do it. Avraham Avinu had the fortitude to be able to withstand that Nisayon. But says the Medrash, there's something that perhaps is even more difficult than that. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Go away from your family. Travel to the place which is far away. Travel to a place of the unknown where you don't know what's going to happen. Go to Eretz Yisrael where there's nothing there for you. Where you have no idea but the fact that God promised you that things are going to be okay. That's a challenge you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. It's not a one-time act. It's something that's going to be with you. It's something that's going to travel with you for the rest of your life. And that's something, perhaps, as the Medrash, that might be even more difficult, even more challenging than the challenge of Lech Lecha and bring your son, Vahaleu Sham Leola. That the Medrash tells us in Parshas Vayera, or Parshas Lech Lecha, I don't remember exactly. There was a comment that was made. I'm sorry? There was a comment that was made by Rabbi Nachum Zemba. Now, Rabbi Nachum Zemba was one of the great Gedolim. He was killed ultimately in the Warsaw Ghetto, but he was a tremendous personality right before the war, right before the Holocaust. So he made a comment that when you look in the Pasuk in our Parsha, V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, which as we mentioned is the cornerstone, is where we learn the foundation for this whole mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So he said, you'll notice that the Pasuk says, V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. He said that the most important Kiddush Hashem that can be made is within our own community. We don't have to look outside. We don't have to look outward to make a Kiddush Hashem in front of others. The most important aspect of Kiddush Hashem is to show our own community, to show B'nai Yisrael how we act. Forget about everyone else. Obviously, they're important, but the most important is, first and foremost, to show our community that we act like a mensch, that we live like a mensch, that we do all of our decisions in a way which brings honor to the Ribono Shel Olam himself. I saw a story a number of years ago, which I was very moved by, and I still am very moved by it. It's a story that's quoted in this sefer called She'al Avicha V'Yagedcha, which is the drushas that were written up by Reb Shalom Shvadron. So he has a story in there that he heard from the Kalava Rebbe. The Kalava Rebbe lives in Yerushalayim. He's a survivor of the Holocaust as well. So he says that the Kalava Rebbe told him a story that happened in when the Jews were in the Iron Curtain in Russia. And he says as follows, Yehudi Zeh Shasipra Esadavar, he says, this Jew told us the story. And this Jew was a person who was nimna im minyan chashay shal yehudim shahayim azminim osam sham lehishtatev bebrisos. They had a minyan of 10 Jews in Russia at a time when they weren't really permitted to keep the religion at all. They had a small private minyan of 10 Jews that were called upon to keep a secret. But any time there was a bris mila, they would invite these 10 men to go and participate in the bris mila and to do the bris mila and keep it very quiet. This person was one of those people. And he says that it was a very dangerous endeavor, and every time they went to perform a bris mila and to participate in one, it had to be done in private, and they were very nervous about what would happen if they were caught, but they did it anyway. He says, Pam achas, one time, the minyan was invited to come to a particular home, and they ushered them into the home, and then there was a back home and a trap door, and they walked further and further into this complex, and finally they got to the place where the child was ready for the bris mila. They do the bris mila. Kavur zman katzar, after a couple of minutes, echnisu as hayelad, they bring the child in, they perform the bris mila, aval regala acha shechziru as hayelad l'imo, the moment after they finish the bris, they bandage the kid up, they give the kid back to his mother to take care of him, nishma pitom tzaka gedola, all of a sudden, they're screaming and yelling. They didn't know what happened. Is there someone hiding here that found us, that found out what's going on? And what were they shouting? Ha'ima is alpha, the mother has fainted. Why'd the mother just faint? You gave her bris mila to her child. Finally, they're giving the child back. The child is healthy. What happened? Kulam ratzu lechedo. They all run into the room. Liros makarat to see what happened to the mother. Why'd she faint? Ad she'etzlicha le'ora sa'eim me'el funa. Then they revive her and she's back to herself. And then they ask her, what happened? Why did you faint when we returned your child back? Listen what the mother says. Ki hayeled hukvar yosemi ben shana. My child is already more than 1 year old. When my child was born, I promised myself the following. I know it's difficult to give you a bris mila. I know we're under strict orders not to perform this mitzvah. But I promise with a resolve I will never allow that my son should not have a bris milah. How did I ensure that my son would have a bris milah, even though it was difficult, even though it was challenging? How did I know that I could promise myself that when the time is right, I would be able to do it? I said the following. I promise the Ribono Shel Olam, I promise that I will never give my son a kiss or a hug until the moment that he has a bris milah. And with that I knew that I would be able to withstand this challenge, and when the time was right, I would be able to do it. And she says, here it is, my son is more than 1 year old. I've never once in my life kissed or hugged that child. I've never shown him affection because that was my promise to God. I promise I will do your mitzvah and I will give up so much for it. And she says, I finally had the chance to kiss my child for the first time in my life. Should I not faint? That's what it means to live al Kiddush Hashem. She didn't give up her life. She gave up so much of her sensitivity, of her feeling, of what a human's natural inclination and thought is all about, and she said, I will surrender all of that to the Ribono Shel Olam to ensure that I will perform the mitzvah that is so beloved to him and is so much beloved to me. And with that, she fainted and she told the people, this is the way I lived life the last year, and it's something I'm so proud of, and it's something I would never take back because it's something that I gave to the Ribono Shel Olam. Yihi Ratzon, it should be the Ribono Shel Olam's will. We have the mitzvah of Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. We should never be challenged in the way that so many generations before us have been challenged. We should live up to that incredible challenge of V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael in the positive sense. Like Rav Soloveitchik said, in the experiential, to live through life, always living al Kiddush Hashem, always showing the Ribono Shel Olam that we do every activity, every thought, every action that we do is something that always has him in mind and at the forefront of our minds. Rav Hanani ben Akasha.